right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Monday with Sandy Williams, and it's always great to bounce things off Sandy, and he comes back with answers that, you know, you don't hear in many other places. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
Up first, we have David from Mequon.
Hey, Dave, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing this morning? Wonderful. Really quickly, so obviously I have a much different view than Sandy does as far as government intervention. And the reason being, I've looked, when I went to school back at University of Minnesota, and when I went into urban planning, I did a whole analysis on low-income housing and other things. And what came to me, what was an epiphany for me, was the fact that a lot of these low-income projects benefited for a few large developers. And at the end of the day, the people that are moving in there, they're not able to create generational wealth. And that's the case, and it erodes the tax base to that particular city because they're not a homeowner. We're literally paying people to move into low-income housing, and we're helping big banks, and we're helping big developers to take the tax credits and literally just saying, oh, here you go. And what's happening is, at the end of the day, we're actually doing a disservice for those individuals rather than have them encouraged to buy a house or some piece of property that they can pass on to the next generation. We're not doing that. So that literally has been an erosion of many people and being able to pass along whatever they have onto the next generation and go from there.
Well, David, it's interesting. It's anecdotal. But in today's world, how much money do you think a family would have to make to not live paycheck to paycheck and to have enough money? Let's say there's a family with three children, and the children are under 10, and some of them require daycare, and the family is not employed. Both parents work. But neither parent works for someone who is buying them health benefits because that's the more common kind of job these days. Mm-hmm. How much do you think that family would have to make in order not to live paycheck to paycheck and to have enough money to set aside that amount of money per month that would allow them to develop the savings they would need to have a down payment to have that generational wealth potential of buying a house? So let's just start with the family. You got to live more than paycheck to paycheck to save money. Right. How much money do you think it takes in today's world to do that?
Well, again, there, Sandy, it depends on where you live.
Let's just take Milwaukee.
Well, how about Manitowoc?
Let's take a population center. Let's take where most of the people live, which are in population centers, okay? Mm-hmm. And so let's go to a population center. And how much do you think a family in a population center has to make so that they aren't living paycheck to paycheck? And incidentally, the median income in the United States right now for such a family is $75,000. Do you think $75,000 is enough to live better than paycheck to paycheck?
It'd be tough, no, especially
we can do the math right now. It only takes about a minute. And and the fact is that they can't, because how much do you think health care will cost that family a year?
And that $75,000 is the median.
So
half the family, so
I just want to unbundle this, because maybe you and I can reach agreement after we look at the facts about how this all works.
So
health care is going to cost essentially a minimum of $15,000 a year. How much do you think daycare?
But that's not true either, because now we're giving subsidies, massive subsidies.
No, not for a family. Not for a family with $75,000. So let's say we've got $75,000, and it's going to cost $15,000 for health care. How much do you think it's going to cost them for child daycare? Have you been involved in that at all?
It'll cost 15. From my understanding, it'd be about $10,000 for each child.
Well, they can probably bundle them up. I'm willing to go with 15,000. So let's go.
Okay.
Now we've spent 30,000 of the 75,000. How much do you think that family of 75,000 pays in taxes?
Well, they will get tax credits having the kids.
Sure they will, can we say $7,000?
That would actually be lower, based on the fact that
if you measure state and federal taxes, I think you'll find that they would pay at least 10% of their gross income as taxes. But I'm willing to go with less. Okay, so that's 7,500. Okay. So now we've got 7,500. Now we've spent 37.5 of the 75. Okay, now how much do you think they'll pay for rent to have a 3-bedroom place? Will you take $3,000 a month as a probable cost in a municipal center for a 3-bedroom?
Not $3,000 a month. No.
What do you think?
Do you think it's higher or lower? Because I pay quite a bit for 1 bedroom a month.
I think one bedroom.
Well, that's in Madison. Is out of.
I'm in Waukesha, and that's actually the second cheapest city in Wisconsin for rent. So. Okay.
Well, let's just say $3,000 a month, just for the purpose. You know, we can argue about whether it's $2,500.
I can't afford Madison. Thank you.
So $3,000 a month is $36,000 a year, and the money's gone. Mm-hmm. All $75,000 are gone, and we haven't bought food. We haven't paid for utilities. We haven't gotten transportation,
clothing.
So we can even whittle any of those down, and you still don't have enough left to do anything but paycheck to paycheck. You're not saving money to buy a house there. A family of $75,000 is not going to save money to buy a house, not unless they've inherited money, not unless they've gotten a bundle of money someplace.
This is the whole problem. Again, the whole reason why.
Wait, Dave. Let's unbundle it, because if those people lived in a country like every other developed country that paid for child daycare and paid for health care,
who's going to pay for that child daycare?
Well, there's taxes to be paid. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
there's,
but if you literally
no, but no, wait, wait, wait,
have,
wait a minute, wait a minute.
Okay.
So if you take the increase in taxes, if there was Medicare for all, then there would be an increase in taxes. But the increase in taxes paid by anybody would probably be less than the reduction they would have in the health care premium that they would otherwise be paying. And if it isn't less, it'll be less certainly for people at lower income levels if we have a progressive tax rate. So there's no question to me that a family of $75,000 is paying $15,000 for health care premiums would not get a $15,000 tax increase if we had Medicare for all.
Wait, so you're telling me that there is absolutely no subsidy for a person at $75,000 with a couple of kids?
No, I didn't say that. Subsidy? No, there's no. We just went through the process. There can be subsidies that can offset some of their taxes, but we agreed that they would pay. We agreed that they would pay a net tax. I just think that the world at large, politicians at large, and everyone else. Because, you know, the most recent story, I think, in both the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere was that most families earning $250,000 a year were living paycheck to paycheck.
And that's due to the fact that if you look at what's going on in the state of California or the state of New York and New York City, or if you look at Chicago, they're not affordable because the local tax rates are so out of whack. As far as even Milwaukee County, one of the reasons why I left Milwaukee County
let me finish the point because we got to take a break.
Okay.
We've had you on. Thank you very much. All right. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Mondays with Sandy Williams. We'll be back.
We only got one world. That's all we got. One world. Something's wrong with it. Yeah.